Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophet McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. We know today that there is a word from the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We want to go ahead and get ready to go into the Word. And there's several things that God is saying in the Spirit, and we want to definitely pay close attention to each one of them. Amen. But before we get into all of that, let's first of all go into our announcements and into our prayer this morning. Prophetess, if you would.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Once again, welcome to our show, Kingdom Lifestyle. The announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10 p.m. and please join us for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. On Thursday, every Thursday night at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear every broadcast live at www.ctkr.org. Also, want to let you know if any of you would like more information concerning us as a church in general, if you need someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, or if you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to come and minister at your church, as you're on our website or go to our website, www.ctkr.org, at the top of the page, you will see a Contact Us tab. Click there, follow the instructions, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen? Amen. Also want to let you know that we have Facebook pages. Please go to our Facebook pages. Like us there. You can locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, or you can find us under Woman of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOD. We want to hear from you. We want to know how God is blessing your life, and most of all, how this broadcast is blessing your life as well. Amen. Those are the announcements for this morning. Now let us go into prayer, and then following prayer, let's get into the Word of God for none other. Let's pray. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, God, we thank you and we praise you. Yes. You are an awesome God. Father, there is no one like you. We just, your people, want to say thank you. We want to say thank you, God, for your favor, your love, the open doors that you have given us. Father, everything that you have just spoken over our lives that have been prophetic, we're starting to see the manifestation. God, we thank you for the manifestation of your word and your power. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, now we come worshiping you. We come praising you. We come with our hands uplifted this morning, our hearts uplifted, our minds uplifted, ready to receive from you in the name of Jesus, ready to receive your word, receive your instructions, receive our next step for our assignment, God, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we ask that you would just touch the apostle's head. Give him wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Father, let him open this word up to and let us receive revelation right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Father, for the souls that are coming. We thank you for the souls that are already here. God, we ask, Father, that you would touch the hearts of your people today and the minds of your people. Give us the mind of Christ. The word says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Father, we want to take on your mind and your mannerisms and your character. Father, we thank you right now. We even ask, Lord, that as this message goes forth, that someone will be saved. God, someone will call upon your name. Someone realizes that they need a Savior, and you are it. Father, we give your name glory. We thank you. We praise you. We bind the works of the enemy right now. We give your name glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that dynamic prayer. We're so grateful that you would allow the Lord to use you as he does. Amen. It is often that we just tell him thank you, and the reason we do so, thank you, is because he's done so much for us, amen. And I don't know about you, but if you ever have taken time and look back over your life, and I was sharing this with somebody else, I said, if you look back over your life and see everything that God has done for you, mm-hmm. I mean everything, that God has done for you, and what he actually overlooked or looked over, if you will, mm-hmm. in your character, amen, you'll see that he's done some fabulous things, amen, yeah. Amen, and yeah. If he has done some fabulous things, then your grace, your praise, your worship should be at a different level. In other words, we're thanking God for all the things that he's done for us. Mm-hmm. You see that? When I wasn't thinking about him, he still thought about me, allowed things to be put into order, yeah. Into place, so that as I got around the corner to the place where I was going, you know, he had waiting for me, you know, instruction, or he had waiting for me, based on my obedience, a blessing of obedience, amen. And you'll hear us speak about that blessing of obedience often, because most of the things that all the things that we are experiencing have come because we have followed the voice of the Lord. And I tell you, when he first spoke it, it did not sound like it was something that I could get into. Did not sound like it was something that I could actually do. It didn't make good common sense to me in my understanding. But when we got to it, we found out that it made perfect sense in his plan. See, and his plan is greater than my plan. He thinks about things that my mind ain't even at. Amen. And because he does so, then that allows me to go on and know that his decision for my life is the best decision. Amen. He looks down the road and he sees the end at the beginning. And all of those things come together for me to actually have a successful walk. So now if my faith is in his wisdom, then when he says go, I go. Y'all see that? When he says move, I move. Okay? When he says stop, hold it, wait a minute, I stop. Hold it, and wait a minute. See, most of the times we get in trouble because the wisdom of God proclaims and decrees something. His instruction comes through the Spirit. But when the Spirit speaks, because it doesn't align with what you feel, see, we don't look at it by being the flesh. Right. We look at it as we feel. We go over the Spirit, and after we go past the Spirit, we get into what the flesh has tried to do or to get or to have or to, you understand?
Sure.
And all of those things is what causes the problem, because the Holy Spirit knew that you didn't need to go past A because you didn't have A down. And when you got to B, you need to have A down for the foundation before you could even think about accomplishing B. And if you keep on going because you just want to progress, you'll get to B, and it won't be done right. You don't have a good foundation with A, and here you are trying to tempt C. And the whole thing, eventually, the higher up you go, the greater the fall is when it comes down. Mm-hmm. Amen? So we have to then go back to the foundation and reset and make sure we have A. Amen? And the Spirit knows when it's time to move on to B. So we got to stop trying to go around the Spirit and be in line with them. But every good thing the Lord has, he has for us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And if he has every good thing for us, then he'll make sure that we have every good thing. It is his good pleasure. Amen? You see that? That's what the word says. His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Amen? The kingdom ain't your cars and your houses. But it's authority, favor, and otherwise. Some things that we're doing right now, we're going to need God's favor for. Amen. And I thank God that he didn't just give me the money for it. He gave me the favor. Amen. Because you have money and walk into a deal that takes the money and you still don't have what you need. Favor allows you to walk into a deal and they bring the price down and still give you benefits of having all of that. Amen. See, sometimes we talk about who you know. You know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Amen. In this aspect, I know him. Amen. If you know him, just raise your hand and say, I know him.
I know him.
Amen. Amen. Okay. So as we get into this word, we went into 2 Corinthians. Amen. Let me put my glasses over here so I can actually see what I'm reading here. Amen. God is so good. Amen. You know, it's interesting that, I'm going to go back to this. Amen. What I was just saying, God sees so much better than we do. Amen. In my vision, I'm trying to see what is already written. And sometime in my vision, I can't clearly discern everything. No matter how I try to position myself to see it better. But when I get in the Spirit, I begin to see like I see. Everything becomes clear. And I don't have to try to finagle it, maneuver it. Amen. To see it. Amen. We need to put on his vision and stop depending on ours. Amen. Somebody going to catch that. Amen. You can use it if you want. Amen. Amen. All right, we are in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and we begin to look at the first verse and go down, amen. And it's interesting that if we look the second verse, amen, then we see that there are some things that Paul is talking to them about, amen. We have not neglected or forgot what the Lord spoke to us over and was speaking to us over in Acts. We're just moving where he moved us this past week. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We'll go back over there. That's why I love the word, because you'll start in with it and it'll switch. Amen. If I sit back and just go with my own, you know, agenda, that I'm going to miss God eventually. Okay. Amen.
Mm.
I'm so happy that he takes care of me like that. All right. So, second verse here, when we begin to look at this, there's certain things that we have to get into. And I'm going to tell you, seventh verse down, when we get there all the way to the 17th verse, amen, we'll have to really take some time and dig in there. Amen. There's some things that are important for us because everybody does not have all authority in every area. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people who are claiming that need to go back to this word and read and understand that you have, according to Ephesians 4:7, you have a gift or the grace that was given you according to Christ's measure.
Uh-huh.
You understand? The gift that he gave you, Christ measured your gift or your effectiveness or your anointing for the work that he gave you.
Right.
You understand? So when you're trying to have all the anointing in and do everything, that's not realistic, nor is it scriptural. Amen. When the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you notice that Paul shows that there are certain things that he cannot do. Like when he wanted to go into certain countries, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit withheld him, amen. He could have went, but he would not have went with the anointing, amen. So he could have went, but he wouldn't have went in the strength of God, amen. So we can't just take the scripture and apply it where we think it will fit best for what I'm trying to do for me. Amen. All that out of context theology, we got to put it in place and deal with it where it really is. So that we can fully see what God is saying to us and understand what God is trying to get to us. Amen? Amen. Let's read this down. Amen. From the second verse. Amen. Prophetess, if you would. Okay.
But I beg you that mm-hmm. when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intended to be bold against those who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
For though we walk in the
Amen. There we are. Amen. Amen. So now then, when Paul is speaking, then he's telling them, listen, y'all are looking at us and talking to us as if, you know, we're some little somethings and we ain't got no authority. He talked big on those letters. Well, listen, when he first said this, He said, I didn't want to come to you, you know, that when I'm present, I may not be bold with some, be bold with that confidence by which I intended to be bold against some. Hmm. That means that some people are checking Paul.
Right, right.
Who you think you are? My family been here all this time? You know. You ain't nobody. You can't do nothing. Huh? You don't know nothing. We've been doing it this way forever, and it ain't bothered nobody until you showed up talking about we need to change some stuff. Hmm. Listen, God is a progressive God, and if he's a progressive God, then that means that he's doing things that will move us forward, amen? Yeah. And what you did for yesterday and yesterday's anointing is not going to work for today or today's anointing. And if that is the case, then when God says you need to change something, stop telling God how y'all always did it and start doing it like he's telling you it needs to be done, amen? Wouldn't it be terrible for us to still be working with technology back in the 1800s today in 2014? Wouldn't that be crazy? Wouldn't it be crazy for us today to be still trying to maneuver and do things the way that they did them back in the 1920s? See, we're not using steam for power. Y'all understand? We're up in nuclear, you know, atomic and hydrogen and everything else. We're in solar and, we're using some other things now, amen? And if you stuck in yesteryear, then you have the potential what yesteryear was, amen? Notice that they had those big factories, giant, huge factories that they had. And all they was pushing stuff out, but it was mechanical. Mm-hmm. It wasn't smooth. It was just mechanical. Amen. Mm-hmm. And now we learn with electricity and ships and everything else how to not just be mechanical but be fluid. Mm-hmm. You can see the movement of some of these robots as they're putting the cars together are very articulated. And that didn't work back then. They didn't have technology to get it to turn like this and then like this and then over like that. Mm-hmm. They didn't have those movements. They developed them in the digits as they came. Y'all understand? So now if you're using yesterday's anointing and yesterday's technology and yesterday's understanding for today's problem, you're going to be outdated, outclassed.
Wow.
You see that? That's why as you go through this word, you grow. Paul is telling them what you did yesterday worked for them, but this is today. Y'all see that? So today you have to do something that is going to work for your today. Stop talking about your yesterday as if it was greater than your tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's going to preach right there by itself. Mm-hmm. Some of you are living in your past glories. I don't care how fast you was in the high school. I don't care how fine you was back in your senior year. Guess what? That was then. You years down the road, and you still trying to tell boys, I used to run. That was then. Try to run now. Mm-hmm. I was so bad. Okay, you was bad then. Things done dropped. Things done repositioned themselves. And, you know what I'm trying to say. Things don't look like they used to look back way back when. Stop trying to live in those glories. Be fine as you are today. Amen. Do what you can do today. See, the difference between wisdom and youth, amen, and age and youth is that age learn how to do it better. And youth is still trying to figure it out.
That's true.
Which is why they got more energy, because they can mess up and recover, up and recover. When you get to a certain age, you shouldn't have all of those mess up. I wish I could preach to somebody today. Amen. And people are still trying to run around with their youthful mentality. He caught the young because they were strong. He caught the old because they were wise. Amen. If I'm old, I'm older. I'm not supposed to be running around trying to be young. You, let me tell you something. We know when you're young because you try to do youthful things, but your back hurt like the old folks.
Right.
Okay, let's get back to this word. Amen. So Paul began to tell them, listen, I don't want to come to you and fuss at you and deal with you in my authority. All right? Because you think I'm coming to you with my strength. You notice what they were saying here. You see how they was describing him?
Yeah.
You see the letters that you write and what you saying are weighty and powerful, but you know when it comes down to you, bodily, but its bodily presence is weak and its speech is contemptible. Y'all see that down at the 10th verse? Now let's drop back up here. Let's go back up here, 4th verse, because he has to remind them, you talking about my speech, you talking about how I look. And that's why I tell people, stop competing with other folk. We're going to get into that when we get down to 12 verse and all of that, and we begin to get into it. Amen. But stop competing with other people. You do yourself a disservice when you take your God-given authority and compare it with somebody else. Amen. Because I can never compete with somebody else's assignment with the authority that God gave me for my assignment. Y'all catch what I'm saying? In other words, God gave them a diesel engine with diesel fuel. He gave me a gas engine with gas fuel. If I try to put diesel in my gas engine, my engine is done.
Yeah.
Y'all understand what I'm saying? So while we're trying to compare with somebody else because they got a diesel and they run, stop, run your gas engine like you. Maybe you don't have a gas engine. You got an electric engine. We're finding out that some of these electric engines were so efficient, amen, that they're running sports cars at a high level.
Yeah.
They run fast, they run clean, and they run quiet, amen. So while people were sitting out there, the concern was is that they're too quiet. People won't hear them coming and get hit all the time. So they had to noise the engine up so people could hear them coming down the street. That's why you hear instead of you are trying to compete. Stay in your lane. Do what God called you to do. You're more efficient and effective at it. We're going to get into that as we go on. So Paul has to go back and tell them, you looking at the frame, you listen to the words, but you're not really looking at the anointing. You see that? And when you look at the anointing, you have to understand, you coming after me as if I'm nothing. I'm not going to fist fight you, amen, because I don't fight that way. Fourth verse, he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Yes, God.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So all your running around trying to position and talking to people and trying to call folk on the phone and text and put them on Instagram and social cam, everything else, all of that stuff, Facebooking and everything else, your Twitter account where you just happen to say enough words in 40 characters or less to try to put somebody on blast, all of that stuff is your carnality trying to fight a battle that you are ill-equipped spiritually to do. Huh? Paul said, I'm not going to fight that way. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal. And brother, sister, you have to understand you are not my enemy. I'm not fighting against you. Amen. I'm not trying to deal with you according to my power, my strength. Amen. I've been sharing with you the authority that God has given us as I was a police officer. As long as I had on my badge and my uniform, I could stop the squad car in the middle of the expressway, turn the lights on, get out, hold my hands up, and everything on that expressway would stop. Now, I physically did not have the power to stop one of them. Mm-hmm. Y'all understand? They didn't respect my power. They respected the authority.
Yeah.
Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
And Paul is letting them know, y'all looking at my power, but you need to look at my authority.
Yes.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to hear this. Because you're looking at the man, the woman of God that he's placed over your life, and while he's talking to you, she's talking to you, you getting upset, talking about every time they need help out the car, I got to help them. And here they going to come telling me something. They don't know me. I need just let them fall. Wait a minute. Hold on. The frailty of the body might be there, but don't ever discount or discredit or dismiss the spiritual might.
That's true.
Amen. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Amen. Where is it mighty?
In God.
Who gave you your authority?
God.
Who validates your authority?
God.
Who validates your office?
God.
So when we're looking at this, we're looking at the things that validate, amen, the things that set things in order. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? If you got somebody who got to call people up and say, yeah, they is apostle, then you ain't working with the right stuff. Amen? Because if the phone don't work, they didn't get the call and it didn't work. Amen? Huh? You need to know that when you move, he moved too. Amen? And when he moved, you moved too. Amen? Amen. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God. Why? So I could tear you up
Mm-mm.
and tell you off?
Mm-mm.
No. For the pulling down of strongholds.
Yeah.
Now, let me deal with this. Strongholds. What a stronghold? A stronghold is a generational curse or something else that has come up and is set within itself that it is immovable. It doesn't have to move because upon its own strength and validity, it stands. In other words, regardless of what God says and how he says it, it doesn't matter to me because this is just who I am and how I'm going to do. Can I talk to somebody right now who has set up in their heart and their mind that well, God said do this, God said go there, but I don't feel like going, I ain't ready to go, and he needs to just, I need a second or third opinion.
Yeah.
No. That's just disobedience, brother, sister. That's all that is. When God says it, regardless of how you feel about it, move. I don't see any place in this word where someone said, I'm not comfortable with that. And he said, well, let me give you some time to get comfortable.
Sure.
No, he came and said, at this point in this time, you will do this, you will do that. We always talk about Abram moving from your country and from your family and from your father's house, amen, to a land that I will show you. He didn't say to Canaan. Because then he would have known where to turn and go.
Right.
He said, to a land that I will show you. And it's too often we won't move until God gives us the total blueprint, the architectural design.
Mm-hmm.
Show us what's in the account so we know where our resources is. He ain't put nothing in here so I can at least get a bag of chips. Listen. Stop worrying about all this stuff. If God said go, when you get to the next place, he'll have a blessing there to help you continue on. It's called the blessing of obedience that continues you and continues to help you move as you're going down the road. Here you are trying to get God to give you everything so I understand because, you know, you can't be too careful today. Listen, people's Christianity today requires no faith. If we don't see it, we can't do it. So God must not have said it. No, when God speaks and it don't make sense to you, sometimes you need to know when that's the enemy trying to get you off track.
True.
And let me show you how the enemy gets you off track. The enemy gets you off track because he tries to make it seem plausible.
Mm-hmm. The fear all up in it.
But when God does it, you know, he tries to get you fearful about it. You understand? So you're looking at it, and you're like, I don't know how I can do that. How's Moses going to look at Pharaoh coming this side?
Yes, sir.
Red Sea this side. You know, and I know people have been talking about, well, they said it was the Red Sea. Okay, whatever. I'll give you that because it's still a miracle. Mm-hmm. How did God drown Pharaoh's army in 12 inches of water? It's still a miracle. You're trying to, with your intelligence, talk about, well, it couldn't have been, you know, the Red Sea because it would only, it must have been a Red Sea was what's over there. It's just a misspelling, but, you know, I don't believe that the whole nation of Israel. Well, do you believe that the whole Israel army, Egyptian army, was destroyed in 12 inches of water? You picked the miracle. All I know is that Pharaoh was coming. Mm-hmm. There was water. Mm-hmm. There's children of Israel. Water's party. They went through. These jokers following. Got drowned. Amen? Huh? You see, this doesn't make sense in our natural minds. Something's wrong here. Amen? But in a spiritual sense, God knew how he led him to that so he could provide that. Now, understand, back then they did not have technology that we have today. There was no helicopters airlifting them from this side over there. And as the helicopter came down, the pressure of the blades on the water caused it to go back. And people saw that and said, oh, the waters are splitting. No. There was none of that. Amen. What they had is God led them to a place where he could show himself strong. But I like this. He asked Moses, why are you crying out to me? And I have to ask some of you that. When God gives you something to do, why are you crying out to him? He said, what's in your hand? In other words, I've already equipped you with what you need to do the work. Just do the work. Amen? Amen. Huh? So, Paul here is talking about these strongholds. Mm-hmm. For pulling down strongholds. Amen. And these strongholds, you gotta let mama go, daddy go, uncle, pawpaw, nanny, best friend, bestie, BFF. You know, all the, I don't need to go through all the acronyms, but you know what I'm saying. There are some people around you, and the people who destroy your faith the most sometimes are those who are closest to you. You know why they destroy your faith? Because they know where you come from. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, who you? Oh, you big now. You brand new special, huh? You went to church, God and spoke to you, and you had hands laid on you and fell out a couple of times. I don't even believe in that. I think they pushed you down. Anyhow, you got up with some type of revelation that you're going to do something big. Baby, I've been watching you all your life. You always had aspirations, but you could never. Stop. You're going to sit around and listen to that person. That person going to talk you right out of the faith that was instilled in you when you hit the floor. You see? Because people can't believe the greatness. Mm-mm. Huh? Who are you? Who you think you are? Going back to Moses. Every time Moses had to stand and put his foot down, and they would remind him, aren't you, isn't Miriam your, isn't Aaron your, huh? We saw you around here. Look at what they said to Jesus. Ain't that the carpenter's son? Isn't it his sisters and brothers and Mary? Where do you come off with all of this? Okay? You can't allow people who are close around you to talk you out of your faith walk. You can't allow people who are close around you to talk you out of your given, God-given assignment. I don't care who don't believe in you. It's not even about them, is it?
No.
Can I do what God called me to do? And Lord, I need your help, because what you're asking me to do requires faith. Moses, stop crying out to me. Brother and sister, stop crying out and start doing. What is in your hand? What have I given you? Now, the stronghold are those things that stand up, amen, and are resistant to common sense in the spiritual sense, amen? So when God said it, I can't believe it because it doesn't settle with me. So instead of you walking according to your faith, you walk according to your flesh. And go back up here. We do not war according to the flesh. All of these things on the other side of the spear are fleshly stances against spiritual revelation or spiritual expectancy. Amen?
All right.
You see that? We expect you to move according to your faith, but your flesh will not move because there's a stronghold there telling you that you cannot move. You are rooted and grounded in your past, rooted and grounded in your family, rooted and grounded in your spiritual or your generational curse. Amen. So you're still trying to move forward, but you're trying to hold on to yesteryear, trying to get to your tomorrow. Baby, let the anchor go. Amen. Cut the cord. We'll get another anchor when we get to where we're going. Amen. Huh? Now, look at this. Casting down arguments. I wish I had time to really go through all of these like I want to. But isn't it interesting that your stronghold will always have a voice? And that voice will never be in alignment or agreement with your destiny.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Apostle McQueen,
mm-hmm.
If you are an apostle, I don't know if I can really do what you're asking me to do because, well, in my life, my family has always had the problem of.
Yeah.
So they go to the foundation, the stronghold. Why is this stronghold? You just ran in there to hide because you feel the attack. And then you begin to speak out, you know, from the windows and the openings, your argument. And what Paul is saying, listen, I'm not just going to pull the stronghold down. With that, I'm going to cast down arguments. In other words, whatever you put in there to validate yourself for being in there, we're going to destroy that. And we're going to pull it and destroy the stronghold too.
Yes.
Number two of that is that there are things that people think that they're wise in.
All right.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Because there are people, and all you have to do, brother, sister, all you have to do is look at a little bit of TV. Just a little bit. The educational or the scientific, amen, programming where they try to take apart, well, you know, we have these other gospels. And we don't understand why they didn't put them in. They didn't put them in because these were people trying to dispel Christ. Amen. That's why, see, you have to understand that we have a Christian Bible. And in the Christian Bible validates the deity of Christ.
Amen.
And when you go and study world religions, you find out all of them will acknowledge Christ, but at a lesser level. Because if you're dealing with Hinduism, they'll say that he learned his healing arts over here when he was with us in India. But then he went from that point, he went over to you know, Jerusalem and over in that area, and he began to deal with, you know, the healing arts because we have records of him in our transcripts of him being here. Yes, Christ was here. He learned from us. That's why you have nothing about his younger years from 12 to 30 because, well, during that time he was Hindu. The devil is a liar. Even if he was over there, he was still the Son of God.
He
knew what he was doing. When Jesus said, I have others.
Yeah, he did.
Huh? That you know not of. Amen. He could have been speaking of that because he was over there.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't over there learning the arts of healing. He was already the healer.
He was the healer.
Why was he the healer? He was the creator who created the body. He knew already when he put it together, when something was out, that needs to be turned half a turn. This right here needs to be put right here. Why would Jesus, I don't have time to get into all the things that he did for healing, but Jesus was somebody special. Amen. When he decided that he was going to heal, he went through and did it, and it caused everybody. How do you hear somebody deaf and mute? Take him outside of everybody else. Lead him outside of town. When you get out of there, you spit and put your fingers in his ear and then spit. Huh? In other words, he spit in the mouth. You see that? And people say, ugh, that nasty. That's why he removed him, because guess what? In order for me to do this, this ain't for your faith, this is for his faith. My question to you, was his ears open, was his tongue loose? Then shut your mouth. You understand? It worked. He know what he was doing. He didn't have to learn it from nobody. He knew what he was doing. Amen? So the argument that you have, well, you know, we found that there were others. There's only one. And for you who say, well, it didn't pass through those who were canonizing it, because, and that was just man, God knew who to influence to write what was written, so we have what we have. He also knew who to influence to make sure that we didn't get the other stuff in here, and we kept what we needed so that we could continue on. If this word has worked so far, it's going to continue to work. And I believe that God that wrote this through the hands of men is going to continue to have it work. Amen?
It's been working,
haven't it? Huh? I don't care how much you believe in your novel fiction or nonfiction or everything else. You know, that's you. Amen? But I believe in what works. And I've seen it work already. Amen? Amen. So we cast down arguments. And listen to this. And every high thing that insults itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. How much time I got left? Because this is something big here. Amen. Every high thing. We can't hardly get to you. You called yourself apostle, master, apostle, the apostolic pope. We got so many different titles. Amen. Listen. He gave some to be apostles. Myself, I'm an apostle. Some prophets. Prophetess Crystal, walks in the prophet's office. Evangelists, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Amen. Now, for the edification, for the equipping, for the maturing. You see that? Now, every time that God gives an authority, God gives a responsibility. God never gives you an authority just to have it so you can show it. So when we get people who have the office title, but they demonstrate selfish ambitions, we're not looking at a God sent. We're looking at a person that went. See, the assignment that God gave you doesn't come to bring, how do I want to say this? It doesn't come to bring you glory. It comes to bring him glory. Every time that they tried to glorify Christ, he would redirect them to the Father. And every time somebody comes to glorify you, you should be right redirecting them back to Christ. Sitting back on your chair talking about, yes, yes.
My notoriety.
They came and they caught you and you looking deep and awesome, sitting there. I always want people to see you pious. People ask you questions, you answer them so that they can see that you... Wait a minute, hold on. That's just too much. That's not God. That is not. That's you trying to... That false humility that the word speaks of.
Yeah.
That's what that is. Amen. When you are a man, a woman of God, you will stand in the authority of what he called you to, and you will do what God called you to do. And it won't be hard. It won't be difficult. Amen? You'll just walk according to his precepts, according to his assignment. You'll walk, and everything will fall in alignment according to, because it's his plan we're carrying out. And his plan don't have hiccups and flaws. I wish I could preach that right now. So when we run into people who are high and mighty, exalting themselves, those who come and tell us that the word is not all that and the gospel ain't all that and we have all these problems and that, stop. All of that right there is things that exalt themselves. Amen. I just finished the world religion course. And as part of that, they went in and was trying to, he was trying to ask questions, but in a rhetorical sense. You know, do you think that these scriptures could have possibly, I mean, after all, these are centuries after, do you think that maybe they could have, well, they found the foundation of it is, and it was really written back then, it was written in Babylonian captivity, and those are the people who sat down and tried, and then there was these things going on over there, and they believed in this, and we can see sort of shadows, of, and if you aren't foundated in the truth that this is God's word,
you will be swayed.
Then you'll sit back and start scratching your own head. Amen? Because the enemy's job is to confuse the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
The enemy's job is to confuse the truth. Hath not God said? Well, he didn't really mean that. That's his job. If you take the enemy's word because he sounded like he knew what he was talking about,
mm-hmm.
you'll walk away from your hope like Eve walked
Amen.
Away from the promise. You understand? She already had what she needed. She just had to go forth, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion, subdue. That's all she had to do. And he came talking to her, and she thought she was missing something in that. And then she go looking for it, and then she don't have dominion. She don't have, you see what I'm saying? Because he never comes to you to give to you. He comes to you so he can twist the truth. So you got to walk according to what you know. The word of God is right. And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is brought down. Amen?
Amen.
Your argument, the stronghold you ran into. But there's one more thing here, amen, as we look at this. Amen? We got to see it because it's important for us. Amen? Look at what it says here. Yes. Amen. It says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ? Yes. Obedience of Christ. I'm obedient. God said, go, have you went. God said, do, have you done. God said, sit down. Have you taken your seat? God said, get up. Have you gotten up? Oh, we can keep going on now. God said, come, have you come? God said, go. Let's just see, the thing is that bringing every thought.
Mm-hmm.
Why thought? Because when God speaks, your mind starts going. The enemy starts interjecting other thoughts. So here you are thinking that you really hear from God. And you ain't hearing from him because the first thing you heard was his voice. Everything else that you heard after that was every other voice trying to overcome that voice.
Mm-hmm.
Hath not God said.
That's it. Many voices in the land.
Say that again, prophet.
There are many voices in the land.
Mm-hmm. And since there are many voices in the land, the first thing that happens is when his voice speaks to the land, the voices in the land try to overspeak his voice from the land. And we need to learn how to hear from him and focus on him. That's why when we read the book of Jeremiah, we see that no matter how many people went to the king and told the king that, hey, we can do this. We're well able and made all kind of battle implements and iron horns and the rest of that. And Jeremiah said, nah, he put a yoke on and where it said, this is how we're going to go. It's going to look like this. And they would say, oh, so we're going to look like that. So you telling us that we cannot overcome them? They ain't nobody, and we're going to stay in here, and Jehovah's going to fight for us. And Jeremiah said, no, he will not fight for you have gone after other gods, and let them save you. You have ran off in the way of, let them go up to the groves and the high places, and let them deal with you, and let those gods save you if they can. But they cannot, because they cannot speak, they cannot see, nor can they deliver, and you shall go into captivity, and they will persecute him because his word would not change. So God gives you a message and it ain't popular with everybody. Well, welcome to your Jeremiah stage. Keep walking it out. See, the problem is we got too many voices that sound the same. And they're not speaking differently because they want to be a part of the body of everybody else. I want them to celebrate me and enjoy me. I want them to call me back. I want to get, you know, those big honorariums and everything. Listen, your money, Simon, die with you. You see that? I got to do what God called me to do, whether it is popular or not. And then most of the time, it ain't going to be popular because I'm not going to sit here and brush and stroke your ego. If God said you are vagrant, you're a vagrant. If God said that you this, that, and other, that's what you are. Ooh, how can you can sit back and say all that? I didn't call you that. He said it. And since I'm his mouthpiece in the earth, I said it through. I said it too. Amen. I'm not going to change what I'm saying because it's not politically correct with you. See, we got to get past this being politically correct but godly wrong stuff. Either you're going to stand for him or you're not. Amen? And if you're not, stop trying to get the blessings of obedience, which is what we're talking about here. Amen? Bringing every thought into captivity. And that means arrest the thought. Look at your neighbor and say, arrest the thought.
Arrest the thought.
Oh, you're going to have to arrest that thought. That thought came up out of nowhere. Why? Because it was sent by the enemy to aggress. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And that thought came from him. And this assignment is the same. If God said, do it this way, do it that way. Let the devil, amen, take his own blow. Every thought, bringing it to captivity, you arrest. Right?
Absolutely.
To the obedience of Christ, I will do it. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Lord, I wish I had time to finish
you
that.
You get it right, but you can get everybody else to
go. Right. You perfect, but ain't nobody else got it. The devil's a liar.
It's all the way.
And you stop lying for him. Amen? Huh? Listen, we're not done. We're just going to stop because we have to. Our time will be done. Amen? But this obedience that we're called to, we have to learn how to walk this out. And somebody said, why didn't you preach the same thing and move? And stuff? Because there's so much revelation here that we have to give it to you in layers, amen? Because if I gave it to you all at once, that's why we have weak saints, because they got just a little bit and they ran with that without the full understanding. You take time through repetition and build the truth up so that the principle stands, amen? People understand and know what they need to do. Amen? Amen. Prophetess, if you will, lead us in our closing prayer.
Amen. Come on, let us bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this word. God, we thank you that you are helping us to understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. God, in helping us to understand that we are responsible for bringing every wayward thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. Father, we just ask right now as we go through this week that every voice that is not like you, God, that you would allow us to discern it and then cast it out in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, as we, your people, come, we ask that you would bless, Father, those that are not saved. I ask that you would repeat this prayer after me. Father, I am a sinner. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me for all my sins. Wash me and cleanse me in the precious blood of Jesus. I'll serve you all my days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, I pray right now for you who are sick in your body. For those who need a miracle, we simply pray and decree and declare that the resources, the healing, will manifest in your life in the name of Jesus. To God be the glory, that by his stripes we are healed. And I have to say to you that when he calls you, you're in obedience. His will, his bill. Amen. Help. Amen. Us to get to the place where we depend on him and not ourselves. Amen. Amen. Jesus' name, amen. Go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread this gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
The Prophet McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. And I want you to remember that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. So let's give God a praise. Hallelujah.